Les conférences du Collège de France.
Bonsoir à tous. Bienvenue donc à ce troisième cours d'Emmanuel Passeguet, qui est donc professeur invité par l'Assemblée du Collège pour une série de quatre conférences et qui aujourd'hui va nous parler de Adaptive and Maladaptive Myeloid Cell Production. Emmanuel, you have the floor.
Thank you, Hugues. And thanks. I start to see non-face in the room, so it's really very nice to see people coming back. So today the lecture is about adaptive and maladaptive myeloid cell production, and I think to just frame the topic, the bone marrow really continuously generates myeloid cell to meet the daily demand of the organism. And that's a defense against viral and bacterial infection, very important in a lot of different organs. It supports barrier function, like in the liver, and it does promote a lot of tissue repair and angiogenesis. And now it's well known that circadian circulation of myeloid cell as well are very important for a whole range of circadian clock or rhythms by which the organism behaves. So very important function of production of myeloid cell at the organismal level. But there is a situation where this steady production is not enough. And then you need really lots more myeloid cell during bacterial or viral infection, which rapidly consume, deplete this myeloid cell, or when you want to really rebuild, mount a regenerative response to reconstruct the myeloid lineage. And that leads to activation of a process which is called emergency myelopoiesis, which is transiently activated to meet this demand in myeloid cell by the organism. And of course, there is condition of maladaptive activation of emergency myelopoiesis, which result in constitutive activation of this process of amplification of myeloid cell production. And this overproduction of myeloid cell contribute to the progression of myeloid leukemia, chronic and all range of chronic inflammatory disease, including solid cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, arthritis, obesity, you name it, there is always a mature myeloid cell component. So this is really what my lab has been studying for many years, which is this process of emergency myelopoiesis, or you go from a steady state hematopoiesis, and I think I cover that in excruciating detail during the previous lecture, where you have a certain configuration of the system with quiescent stem cell, a range of multipotent progenitor, mostly biased toward the lymphoid bias MPP4, a lot of lymphoid cell being produced, very few myeloid cell, and the steady production of erythrocyte and megakaryocyte. So when you activate emergency myelopoiesis, you remodel this entire hierarchy. It starts in the stem cell. It really changes the distribution of the population. It reprograms certain population. It induces the appearance of new population as well as new activity within certain population. And it's all geared toward amplification one lineage and down regulating the production of the whole other lineage. And this is normally transient during an acute response. It becomes constitutively activated in malignancy. So what are those processes of emergency myelopoiesis? I already mentioned that the quiescent stem cell is glycolytic. When it activates, it turns on OxPhos. This metabolic remodeling leads to cell cycle activation. There is some change in the epigenetic landscape, the poising of this activated stem cell, which can now read a lot of signaling activity and drive commitment to the multipotent progenitor downstream of the stem cell. And this activated stem cell compartment has lost self-renewal. It's not transplantable anymore. At the level of the MPPs, this normal distribution MPP2, MPP3, MPP4 now is changed. Everything is amplification of the myeloid bias MPP3, and we see the appearance of this myeloid bypass, this Fc gamma receptor positive subset of the MPP3, and I will give you more detail about what these cells are. What this subset does, it really centers the activation around the stem and progenitor and drive the nearby cell towards production of GMP, this granulocyte macrophage progenitor. Then at the level of the GMP, there is a lot of cell biology which was only uncovered by imaging, not by flow cytometry, but the GMP which are scattered within the marrow at this resolution, you don't see them, they are little purple dot all through the bone marrow, mostly what you see are the myeloid cell, but they form this GMP patch which are self-renewing GMP, which are blocking their differentiation potential and just expands in number. And then from this GMP cluster, where all the GMP now stop expanding, divide, but it's a symmetric differentiation division, and they synchronously produce granulocytes. So it's really foci of myeloid cell production in the marrow cavity, in the microenvironment. And that really reflects what this engagement of emergency myelopoiesis pathway are, which is really an integrative mechanism which take advantage of bone marrow niche microenvironment and a lot of like this cell in the niche and factor which are produced by this cell in the niche, cytokine, especially pro-inflammatory cytokine, play a very important role in this process. Interleukin-6, for example, is a key cytokine which reprograms the lymphoid bias MPP4 away from producing lymphoid cell towards producing myeloid cell. Interleukin-1 and TNF-alpha are the one which really precociously activate a key myeloid commitment transcription factor, PU.1, in the stem cell compartment. It's normally not expressed. Now, in response to this cytokine, it's on, and that starts the cascade of emergency myelopoiesis. The interferon are basically an atomic bomb in the marrow. They act at various levels of the hierarchy, but the end product of that through change of apoptosis, proliferation, speed of differentiation, they amplify as well myeloid cell production, and that's really an expanding collection of factors that people, including my lab, have studied one at a time to really understand how they act, but now we are trying to put them together because they are never in isolation, they are all coming together, and so to see at which level of the hierarchy they act and what really they are controlling. And I mentioned the engagement of this emergency myelopoiesis, EM is the abbreviation for emergency myelopoiesis, which are very specific pathways. So the first one is this GMP cluster. I love them. They are fabulous. When we discovered them, I was so thrilled because that's a different level of regulation, which is very much this like special amplification of a lineage in the niche that you cannot see by flow cytometry. So you see the formation of this cluster in any case of regenerative or inflammatory stimulus. I'm showing you here stem cell transplantation with a time frame of 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks post transplantation of purified stem cell. Treatment with 5-FU, which is a myeloablative agent, which basically kills every proliferative cell and is really activating very quiescent stem cell for the rebuilding of the entire system. And at day 8, you start to see the GMP patch. By day 10, it's a mixed patch cluster. Day 12, you have this massive cluster surrounded by the differentiating granulocyte, and they are gone by day 14. Same thing, 4 weeks post-transplantation, this process is resolved following engraftment. Or you have GCSF, which is a much more specific cytokine, which is known to induce stem cell activation and mobilization, but in reality for amplifying myeloid production act well later in the hierarchy at the level of the GMP, and it does exactly the same without all the damage of the niche that you see following irradiation or 5-FU treatment, but you see the same feature, which are these massive GMP cluster, which are transient day 2, day 4 post GCSF injection. These are daily injection. And by day 6, they are completely completely gone. So we work out some of the mechanism, and this paper we published in 2017, where this pro-inflammatory factor produced by both mesenchymal stroma cell and endothelial cell trigger activation in stem cell, IL-1 inducing PU.1, drive the production of this MPP3 cell. Then especially GCSF induce this self-renewing program with downregulation of IRF8 and upregulation of beta-catenin, so the Wnt pathway, and that really block the differentiation in GMP. They expand in number without differentiating. This is a phase of like building the cluster, and then in synchrony they stop proliferating. We still don't know if it's a clock mechanism, if it's a particular signal which tells the self-renewing GMP to stop doing this self-renewing proliferative phase, but they stop, and then every division is a differentiation division, and you see the granulocyte at the periphery. An interesting feature is that when we are at this stage, and you see it here, for example, this megakaryocyte here in the border, here it's too restricted, but you see that very consistently, this megakaryocyte sends something in the process and starts secreting TGF-beta and platelet factor 4, which are cytokines which are utilized by stem cell to return to quiescence. So that's the activation followed by the termination of this amplification process. So this is actually what we are currently studying by spatial transcriptomic to really get a better sense of what happened during this cluster formation. So I show you the cluster in the context of the regenerative emergency myelopoiesis. We see them in every model of myeloid malignancy that we have looked at. Here is a pre-myeloproliferative neoplasm. That's our inducible model of BCR-ABL, which drive a CML, chronic myelogenous leukemia-like disease in mice. You withdraw doxycycline that turn on expression of BCR-ABL. Within 5 to 6 week post-induction, the mice develop massive granulocytic production. The leukemic stem cell, which are pre-leukemic stem cell at this stage, they are not yet fully transformed, are really at the level of the stem cell compartment. The entire hierarchy show exactly this feature of activated emergency myelopoiesis with increased production of MPP3, myeloid reprogramming of the MPP4, that's the effect of interleukin-6, and we read out this myeloid reprogramming in methyl cellulose compared to normal MPP3, the reprogram IL-6 exposed MPP4 from the BCR-ABL mice really have this much increased ability to form myeloid colony in methyl cellulose. And as you can see in this high-level view of the marrow of these BCR-ABL mice, you have GMP cluster and GMP patch everywhere in the marrow. These are the constantly producing foci of myeloid differentiation which are present in this animal and fuel this expansion of the myeloid lineage. We see the same in other model of acute myeloid leukemia. This is a very classical MLLIF9 transduce from using bone marrow LSK, HSPC, primary, secondary, tertiary, basically at every stage of the disease, take with different kinetic because the disease become most severe with passaging. So leukemic stem cell in this case is at the level of the GMP compartment, and basically when you look at the hierarchy in this IML carrying mice, there is a complete erasure, collapse of the entire hierarchy. What's remain are really GMP and blast cell. But when you look by imaging in the marrow of this AML mice, what you see is this, these are different secondary recipient mice. You see patch and cluster, you see some cluster. So really this feature of engagement of emergency myeloporosis are present in this leukemic animal. So this is one level, lower in the hierarchy, really amplifying myeloid cell production. I keep mentioning this myeloid bypass, this Fc gamma receptor MPP3. We discover this feature of the system by serampidity. Because we had done a collection of populations that we studied by electron microscopy, looking at the structure of the cell. And as you can see, stem cell, big nucleus, shiver of cytoplasm around the nucleus, a lot of indentation on the membrane, a few organelles, very important organelles, because I already mentioned that autophagy is essential to get as gatekeeper of quiescent. MPP4 are very similar to stem cell, but in the MPP3 compartment, you have this very striking cell, which represents roughly 40% of the population. It's not all of them, but 40% of them are this massive rough ear, where you can, with even higher resolution, really see the ribosome lining up the endothelial reticulum, indicating active protein production and being located in the endoplasmic reticulum. And this is just a staining for the ear by using KDL. So what we did with this observation is we use a protocol established by David Baltimore lab, which is stimulation with LPS and PAM3-3K, to see if this cell, which were clearly making something and storing it in their ear, were able to secrete. And so we did a measure of secretion in supernatant, and we're sorting 10,000 cells, and then measure 24 hours later the rate of secretion. So when we do that with stem cells stimulated or not with LPS, there is really nothing, almost nothing with MPP4. GMP are secreting quite a few things, but clearly MPP3 were the one responding to the stimulation and secreting. When we did a secretome analysis for this cell, what really become very clear is that they were secreting a lot of the inflammatory factor like IL-6 and TNF, which are fundamentally important for the engagement and the regulation of emergency myeloporosis. And then we did a lot of work with this ear tracker to isolate this subpopulation, this 40%, which have this rough ear compared to the 30, like the rest of the population, which do not have, and to show upon stimulation that secretion was solely due to this cell, which is unique morphology. So we then did a lot of converging approach to understand this autocrine paracrine effect of this MPP3 secretion. Here we use a supernatant that we harvest from 24-hour cultured cell to grow naive cell in methylcellulose or in liquid culture and look at the effect. And you can see that in both cases, a supernatant of an MPP3 upon stimulation with LPS PAM3-3 to induce secretion and release really stimulate production of myeloid cell colony from naive stem cell MPP3 an MPP4, nothing you see from the supernatant of the MPP4. And when we put naive stem cells in liquid culture and grow them with the supernatant from stimulated MPP3, you can see here this massive push toward myeloid differentiation. So this in vitro results suggest that when we look in the marrow and identify these various populations, which are all in the vicinity of each other, I agree with you, it's a matter of how you define vicinity. They are not touching each other, but they are like what I would say are compatible with a range of cytokine secretion effect in basically roughly 20 to 30 cell diameter. So stem cell here, a lot of sinusoid blood vessel close to a megakaryocyte, and MPP3, MPP4, MPP2 are all surrounding this cell. So we really think that one function of this secretory MPP3 subset is very much to educate all the nearby HSPC that there is a need to move their activity toward amplifying myeloid cell production. So in a certain way, form and shape, this secretory MPP3 act a bit as regulatory T cell in the sense of secreting and changing the activity of nearby cell. So of course we live in the day of single cell analysis, so we did single cell analysis on this assorted MPP3 population, and what we found is a very clear heterogeneity which is consistent with the functionality of the two subset, an immature subset here which is basically Fc gamma receptor negative and correspond to the more ancestral MPP3, which are all the ability to differentiate to all the different lineage. Then an intermediate population, which is basically a metabolic transition zone. And here, a very myeloid prime, Fc gamma receptor positive, expressing very high, which is this here high as well subset, which is what is the secretory subset. So when we look in the hierarchy, where this ERI Fc gamma receptor subset localized in this UMAP from bulk RNA-seq, the MPP3 unfractionated is this unique entity away from stem cell, away from GMP. But when you subfractionate, the ERLO, the most immature, is much closer to stem cell, and the ERI, this myeloid prime subset, is very close to GMP. And here you can see the same by reanalyzing this of some of itoamide data. The ERLO MPP3, which is shown in orange, is closer to CMP and MMP versus the ERI, is kind of coddling the GMP, really indicating the proximity, the functional proximity of this cell and this activity as a bridge from HSC, the Fc gamma receptor negative MPP3, to GMP to amplify and re-educate the top of this hierarchy through cytokine secretion to really coordinately amplify the production of myeloid cell. This is at steady state and following an inflammatory challenge, but we see exactly the same in disease condition. Again, going back to our BCR-ABL pre-leukemic MPM model, where when we look in more detail in this expanded MPP3 compartment, what we see is that the expansion is mostly in this Fc gamma receptor subset, this secretory subset. Its secretion is really limited. We did the same analysis that we did following cytokine strong inflammation, and strong inflammation, lots of secretion, constitutive production from bioleukemic Fc gamma receptor MPP3. What we found significant was six cytokines. We already knew about IL-6, a key factor to reprogram the MPP4, MIP1 alpha, granzyme B, GAL1, LCN2 were other hit, But we focus mostly on GAL3, our candidate of interest. What is clear is that when we take supernatant for leukemic MPP3, it has the same promyeloid differentiation activity that regular MPP3 challenge with inflammatory cytokine. Also, it's more limited. So, and the last piece of data I want to tell you about this older story is that when we remove GAL3, so remove one of these key secreted cytokines, we very significantly delay the disease onset in this BCR-ABL CML-like mouse model, and as a consequence, in the bone marrow of this double mutant mice, BCR-ABL and GAL3, BCR-ABL expressing GAL3 deleted mice, we have this very puny GMP cluster, really indicating and dampening of the whole amplification process associated with emergency myeloproliferative. So we came up with this model, which is this bypass mechanism through this Fc gamma receptor MPP3, which in condition of stress and inflammation really skews the trajectory and secrete a lot of self-reinforcing cytokine, and in the context of leukemia as well play a role in this constant activation of the system with low constitutive secretion. And that really drives the point I want to make, which is that basically myeloid malignancy are in large part an hijacking of this principle of emergency myelopoiesis, which are normally used at steady state to really build and produce a myeloid cell on demand in this regeneration slash inflammation context. But then when they are hijacked, contribute to really the constant production of myelin cell, and likely contribute to lots of feature of the pre-leukemic stem cell at the NPN stage or the leukemic stem cell at the AML stage. So there is as well contribution of inflammation and aging, and that's really will be the part of the topic of my last lecture. So since I spend a lot of time, my two first lectures, telling you a lot about our bioinformatic analysis of single-cell RNA-seq dataset, I decided not to go there on the third lecture, to not bore people with the same over and over. So I just give you a snippet of the result from this paper, which I presented to you, the first part, which is this new tool for hematopoiesis research that we describe, this MI-Scribe and MI-Scape. I'm not going to detail what we learned from the perturbation work we did using this tool to measure the effect of poly-IC and GCSF. Where do they act in the hematopoietic hierarchy? What do they stimulate? Very clearly, poly-IC act at every level and change everything about the biology of the system, versus GCSF act very much on the GMP. What I really want to just spend 1 minute on is what we learn from using this NMF, this negative matrix factorization, which extract constant shared signature between all the data sets that we analyze. We have 40 signatures, which explain the complexity of data set. And one that I'm extremely excited about is this factor 24, module 24, which is really a signature of activated GMP, and basically trace 100% overlap with engagement of emergency myelopoiesis, especially at this GMP level. We have some regulator, we are very interested in studying the activity in this signature, but the important point is that using this factor 24 that we found as well in human, we can really predict AML prognosis in patient, high engagement of this signature 24, bad outcome, low engagement of the signature 24, good prognostic. And he has, I believe, quite a bit of prognostic value. So, with that, I stop there. I want now to acknowledge someone else from my lab, Oakley Olson, and other collaborators for this work. And I am done. Thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.